are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.
The complaint-free movement started in a church where I was the minister. I started it on July 23rd, 2006. Now, I had been a minister of that church for 10 months, and that was it. I had only been there for 10 months, and this took off. How did it happen? Real quick, I'll tell you. I was doing a series on Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, which I highly, highly recommend. Highly recommend Edwin Gaines, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. She recommended that people go 21 days in a row, not me, without complaining. She was the one that suggested that we form the new habit. What I did was handed out the complaint-free bracelets, the purple bracelets, and invited everybody to switch the bracelet with every complaint. So I was doing this series, and so since then, a lot of people know that it all started in a church, but they wonder what kind of church, and when they hear it's Unity, they think, oh, Unitarian, nope, very different. So I'm doing five little days here talking about the basic principles of Unity, because Unity is considered to be a philosophy. It is not considered, most people who practice Unity don't really consider it to be a religion. It's more something that you do as an adjunct. The early Unity church services, what we would call a church service, were all done in the afternoon so that people could go to their own church first, Catholic, Episcopal, Baptist, whatever, and then come to the Unity for this new thought. That's why it's called New Thought. It's all about ideas. Anyway, as I mentioned, when I was in ministerial school, I came up with a mnemonic device for remembering Unity's five basic principles. And then my daughter went off to a Unity camp in Colorado 5 years later and came back and told me the principles using my mnemonic device. So in other words, this little thing that I came up with caught on with my classmates, and they told it to their ministers, and it literally became the way that people remember it. So I'm very honored about that. And the way to remember it is one, we talked about one the other day, one and clap, one clap, one clap. One, we talked about there is only one presence and one power, God the good omnipotent. That means that there is no devil, there is no evil, etc., etc., etc. What we call evil, etc., are the unfortunate outcomes of Mother Nature, such as people getting sick. And the other thing is, what we also call evil is the shadow of our own selves. It is that dark side of us, what Jung called the shadow self. So that's the ego. That is what is trying to keep us alive. And it's purely there to question everything, challenge everything, and it is there to keep us alive. So Unity doesn't believe in that dichotomy. It believes in one, just one. The other thing that Unity believes is what see. What I call, let me see if I can get my hand right. There we go, so you can see it. See, the Christ within. Actually, I think it would be that way. Doesn't matter. See, the Christ within. Now, let's take a moment with this. And if any of this is different than what you believe and you feel, then you need to hold on to what you believe and you feel. Consider this just an informational experience. Because this is not in any way meant to change or challenge anything you would ever believe, okay? Unity believes that we all have the divine within each of us. Why? Because if God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, all everywhere, that means that the concept or that God exists in the universe where we haven't even explored with rockets yet, and that God exists in Teddy and me and this microphone and everywhere. And where we get into trouble is when we begin to think that God is everywhere except within us. Marianne Williamson popularized that concept. I hate to bring her name up because now she's considered a political candidate. But her book, Return to Love, really helped me a lot. And in that book, she talked about how she was the one who came up with the idea that it's our light that scares us, not our darkness, and that Nelson Mandela talked about. But she talks about, it's not arrogant to say God is within you, equally within you, as everywhere else. That's not arrogant. That's humble. It's arrogant to say that God is everywhere except in you. So when we begin to look at ourselves as what Unity would call co-creators with God, we are creating our lives, and that God is equally everywhere in us, and we begin to think of ourselves as, take a breath, divine. We begin to think of ourselves as divine because all things are divine. Omnipresent. Remember, God is everywhere. The divine is everywhere. By the way, the word Christ was not Jesus's last name. I'm sure most of you know that. It comes from the Latin Christos, which means the anointed one. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah. It still means the same thing. It means the anointed one. The one who is anointed by God. And when I think about this, I think of a couple of things. The quote from Jesus, "Have I not told you, you are God's?" I did a lot of research on that. He actually said, "Have I not told you, you are God's?" He also says, "Everything I have done and more, you will do." So Unity sees Jesus as, you'll often hear the term, way shower. Or example, someone who shows the way, someone who actually reached that elevated state. I guess in Buddhism, you would say that you would think of that as someone who had become a Buddha, but you would also know that everyone is a potential Buddha. Everyone is a Buddha in training. We all are a Christ within training. We are all the anointed one. The Hopi Indians have a wonderful saying, "We are the ones we have been praying for." I think that whether or not you believe in a rapture, whether or not you believe in a second coming of Jesus, etc., 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 I think that things are going to work out better for all of us when we begin to think of ourselves as sacred. Because then when we begin to think of ourselves as sacred, it's easier to think of ourselves forgiving. It's easier to think of ourselves... What was the other thing I was going to say? It's easy. Oh, I know. Taking care of the temple that is our bodies. Because our bodies are sacred. It's easier to think of us being understanding of other people when we realize we're sacred. Now let's take it one step forward. And that is to realize that everyone else is divine. That person you're upset with or struggling with, it's divine. Some of the issues that I'm having with my computer and being able to do these jump starts quite the way I want to do them, where I want to do them, when I want to do them, are causing me to look deeper and find better, awesome solutions. And the same is true for your life. When things go wrong, it's easy for us to just sit down on the side of the path and whine and cry and kick our little feet. Or we can get up and we can keep moving. And that's what a divine person does. I celebrate your willingness to be with me this morning and to hear what it is I have to say and to be open to the fact that you are sacred, and that everyone in your life is sacred. And if you begin to treat everyone as sacred, then we create heaven on earth. We don't have to wait for it. We create it. And the hard part, as I always say, is to remember, it's your turn. You've got to go first. Sitting around waiting on somebody else to act like you're sacred, no, start with you. Again, one of the things that Unity always sings in every church I find is, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." Hey, if you're here for the very first time, thanks for checking me out and finding this. And be sure and like this page, facebook.com/Will Bowen. And for those of you who click share every single day, thank you. We still are adding hundreds of new fans and followers every week. People who are moving in to the complaint-free movement. People who are getting more inspired. We are helping people start their day in a better way. And it's all because you click share. Thank you so much. Hey, let me see what everybody has to say before I say goodbye. Love this. Susan says, sharing. By the way, when you share, please put share in the comment section. It's either now or later whenever you share. Ideally, do it now. But please do write share so I know who to thank. Most of us have privacy settings so that I cannot tell who has actually shared. And if you're looking for a way to calm down and be calm, cooler this year, make it through the pandemic, be sure and check out Complaint-Free Meditation. I'll leave you with this information about it. And for those of you who are part of the group, I'll see you on the inside in 5 minutes. Stuart, good to see you. Thank you, Mike. I'll see you in meditation in a few minutes.
Take care of your mental health.
The daily meditation really helps me be grounded, stay focused, certainly calmer.
Find peace through guided meditation.
I have never felt better. I'm calmer.
I've been able to remain calm during the day, less fear, less worry.
Live daily meditations or on demand 24/7 with number one international best-selling author, Will Bowen.
Meditation for me basically became like an anxiety medication.
Will is an expert in guided imagery. His voice is very calm, very soothing.
Become part of this powerful global online meditation community. Try Complaint-Free Meditation now and receive a free meditation ebook as Will's thank you gift.
I feel calm, I feel rested.
Highly recommend it.
It's really made a difference in my life.
Daily routine for me.
Learn more at complaintfreemeditation.com.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.